electrified over the week.
Yes.
It all pumped up.
Great.
What's the advice of the date first?
Well, I had the impression that this thing was drifting. So I got all the players together, and it was. So I've got them working on a plan to a finite conclusion. Now,
who's
where
in charge? Where else on our side?
Ken Cole is chairing the working group.
Right.
And he's got Justice and Interior.
Is the Marshal a guy?
No, apparently not. He's serious, but he's not critical.
Thank God.
But the thing is steadily getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, the federal. They could do it the first time. I haven't do it myself. My wife is dead. I never felt that she'd get too much, but I think you temporized with this kind of crap too long. And Indians, we thought were special. Blacks were special,
yeah.
The bad Indians are just like bad blacks. And I think they ought to move in. I think tanks, the whole goddamn thing, put a division in. Necessary.
The Army's scared to death of it, but.
It's too bad.
I told him that I wanted to see a plan spelling out exactly what the military would do, how they would do it, what their estimate of loss of life is, and so on. Then the whole difficulty here, like so many things, is they have no PR concept in this thing. And so the government story is not getting across. The reason why we would send soldiers in is not apparent to anybody. And a foundation has to be laid. And so I want a step-by-step as to how we lay the foundation for the use of troops to bring the thing to an alternate conclusion. And so they're in the process of putting this together now.
And then, of course, the foundation, if the guy had died, that would have been the foundation.
Well, it was a terrible damn thing. And the way they did it to him, and that has gotten out. And nothing about his family or what kind of a fellow he is or any of those kinds of things. So I got on that. But he was standing there next to Kent Frizzell, who's our assistant attorney general, that we're moving over to be solicitor to the Department of Interior, high-ranking guy. And they're standing way, way off in the distance at an observation point, looking down into this village. And a sniper picked this marshal off just 4 feet away from Frizzell. Just the two of them standing there. He could very easily have picked off our assistant attorney general. And it was just one shot. In fact, the guy dropped before the shot was heard. So it was a vicious damn thing.
When did this happen?
Yesterday afternoon.
Well, I bet it's getting across out there.
The Indians have asked for a meeting. And Frizzell was in a meeting with him today. Now, my sense of this, the reason that I called this group together, one of the reasons, aside from just the fear that we didn't have a plan, was that we need to have, in my view, some constructive domestic White House activity going on. Now, this is a problem, and it isn't constructive in a pure sense. But it would be White House activity if we had a White House person involved in the settlement or the PR of this thing at this point. Pull off some of this poison, show another aspect of this thing in terms of White House. So we've been exploring the pros and cons of that. There are a lot of cons to it in terms of the long run. And it's a question of whether you want to pay the long run price for the short run PR advantage. And that's something I'm not prepared to recommend. But it is a possibility, and it would involve somebody like me or Garmin or somebody going up there to neutral ground, talking to Indians on both sides, in effect delivering an ultimatum at the end.
Right.
And then going out and finding every camera you can get your hands on to put across the foundation. It would show White House in operation in a different setting and in a different context, just like the Price thing. The food price thing is constructive in the sense that business is going on and things are happening.
But not quite.
Yes, you bet. I should say so. So that's what that's all about. And tomorrow I'm going to learn
about it. Well, I'm for action on it.
Okay.
Even from the law.
that too. Of course, that's my concern. We're looking at this coming summer.
Yeah.
If we fiddle around up there for 7 weeks,
right,
we're just inviting the blacks or the Chicanos or somebody to occupy a hotel or a railroad station or an airline terminal or some damn thing with rifles and say, we have these non-negotiable demands.
Yeah,
it's unanswerable.
So we've gone the extra mile.
It's
interesting how Schultz has come around with the controls.
It is, yeah. I don't know what's behind that, but I guess he talked to all the players.
But it's the management labor groups that it had to be.
Yeah.
It's always been my concern. You know, I said it's the wrong thing to do in terms of what was the, perhaps, on the merits. But I said it, on the other hand, this is the way, a price you have to pay to get more reasonable labor demands. It's the right thing.
That's right.
Merits.
That's right.
That's what the game's about.
Yeah.
I think that's what Schultz and I have to do.
I think so. It must be. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. But
Abe and I'm glad to do it. I told him, I don't want him to. I don't need to go into the whys and the wherefores and the rest. I'll let him do that. I know the whys and the wherefores and what I've been through and what not to. You know, he very has to bring things to me that I don't know goddamn thing about. The thing is, set it up.
Okay.
Work the plan out. The plan will be, it should be no terminating big indicator on it. It'll be frozen, lifted, rather than the 90-day freeze. George already had that in mind. It should be aimed at foods, perhaps not all, but the ones that we think we should do. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to cover it in just a paragraph, just state it. And then have a statement issued that night, you see, at the same time. My present plan is to make my final day of non-report, Friday, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. And I'll just throw this in. This will make it a hard news for the folks in Richmond. It will be part of the hard news. Part of the news that the Vietnam report will also be. Part of you to be assured. I need to think there is a tendency for other people to deal here. Phase three of working there. We're having a problem with the Congress and the budget, and so we're finished.
Bullshit.
Never finished, you know.
How many times have we finished?
We started swearing November 2nd, we were finished.
Yeah.
We were finished in Laos, remember? We were finished in India, Pakistan.
Yeah.
We were finished just before, remember, a year ago. I just talked to him a year ago. Easter was on the 31st. This week and time both have covers. One was missed in trouble,
yeah.
Or the other was an inspector defeat.
Yeah.
And a year later, Vietnam is finished.
Yeah.
On our ground.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, I don't mean to be polyamorous with the job.
No.
Just don't get too over hypersensitive and so forth. Get out of the country's not quite that. It's a little bit different.
Tennis call me Friday. He's got to get some out of bad. I said, Nick, we don't measure things in weeks around here. Well, if we measure things on a short swing, we have big ups and big downs. And I said, you just can't measure them that way. I think we had a good year.
Very well put.
And,
of course, it's bad. Water day progresses, what the hell. So this week, you have to the price of the Vietnam. Take the Vietnam. I mentioned this to Paul. Nobody else will see it except somebody did. Somebody was saying, what was the big story? And I said, oh, my God, I knew what it was about. This was important. The big story was a lot of sentence announcements by Xavier, which I called him about before his press briefing. And he called the rest together. And she said, as long as there is one deal that can help the Chinese American forces will be there. That got through, and it worked the following day. Now, that you see, is sometimes we tend to realize that we don't have that everything to do, but my point is, action, we can take action.
That's being almost taken for granted right now.
Of course it is,
you know.
I mean, taken for granted that we always win.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did get through, though, understand, for 3 or 4 days there. Cronkite and the rest were in Laos and saying, we're in trouble there, and they're not going to let them
unless we get rid of the military Marine guards. And I remember, I read the treat some of that's her.
They were all out in the lift, sir.
Well, we got a detail going out.
Thank you.
The first one. The counting house looks quite good.
I will get this Thursday night.
Yeah.
Not this specific detail.
But I will say, you could refer to the fact that this week sees the first detail of this conference. You don't need to get into the merits.
Yeah.
The strategy, Air Force strategy, is to take a whip count, but not to count on the 29 Democrats that show up in a whip count at all.
That's right.
To make this party issue, to enforce it among the Republicans, and to sustain the veto strictly with Republican votes. Any Democrats would get a break, because of course Albert is out, twisted Democratic arms all over him.
Right.
And they feel that they're going to make it just on Republicans.
Great if they did, which would be marvelous. So then you're going to sustain them all.
Well, in there, I'll be able to get them in the red. Get them in the red. Now, Senate is all here. They probably will whack us just bang like that.
But at least they're going to try. They're not going to, it isn't going to be a complete blind.
That's right. But I mean, we'll get a very fast Senate turndown tomorrow, maybe, or yet today. Over to the House to probably linger in the House and not bring it on for a while. So the speech would help them.
I'll get around and I'll get it. We're doing it. Not a great plan.
I understand.
I think that's what they need to say. Look, I'm doing this because we've got it. And particularly, it comes nice that I didn't know that we would have this little business of George going, of our going along the price for this. And I would have done it for often. I go on and say, now we've done this on this thing. That's what we're doing to fight this battle of your budget. Believe me, it's national budget. Can't destroy all that. And why, therefore, I have a veto bill. And I ask you to support those congressmen and senators that have the courage to vote to sustain that veto. Because remember, they're not voting against the program. They're voting to against higher taxes, against higher prices. Prices
first. Okay. For your long-range planning, the energy message would go about 10 days after you get back from California. And we'll try and mount the biggest kind of a splash for that we can. Big briefings, leadership briefings, big half-day press backgrounder, slides, charts, the whole shenanigans. I think the more of those kinds of things that are on the fronts of people's minds now domestically,
that we can put them in the
weekend,
but the
show.
The energy thing must go, and the trade thing must go, and the tax thing must go.
Right.
All three of those messages.
Well, we'll give this one the full court press. And DeBona is doing some really first rate work.
DeBona, you want energy to go first, or should the tax thing go?
Doesn't make any difference to me.
The tax one has got a
calorie shot.
I just don't want to have the tax thing be a case of George going up there and mumbling around the White House's committee.
Okay.
I want to slap that one up myself, saying the tax package will have these things in it, including the minimum taxes, which will be there,
right?
And Secretary Schultz will testify about that, about the rest. See what I mean?
Well,
in other words, let's get two bites of that.
The
trade thing is also not a bad one to get.
It's a good one.
Talking about jobs.
The Congress goes out the 19th. So we'll try and get all of these going before the Congress gets out if possible.
So he doesn't testify on the tax.
Don't trade at the end of the
30th.
That's right.
We can get ours out
before then.
The other is let us make our news or make it after the Congress is out.
Now I see you can't send messages.
No. I mean, like on the tax thing, we don't send a message. I simply make the announcement after the Congress is out of town and say, the taxes on the leaders consult and so forth. The tax message is going to go up on that. Make a statement about it, see?
All right.
A brief statement. And we make the news with that. And you see, we get another bite at it when George goes up and testifies. The trade thing, the same. Do things while the Congress is out. It's a very good time to, and we'll dominate it.
Okay.
So those three areas. We lost that world and so forth. feel that way, John. People are either rolling and exaggerating a lot of it, but tough battle, but you know, from deep dead through tough ones, I would.
That's right, and this one, this water cake thing, is potentially very debilitating morale.
Oh.
We have to devote a large part of our time to keeping people busy and
I know.
Affirmative kinds of
whatever you think facilitates morale, because it involves people you know.
Yeah.
It involves, and frankly, people don't. They're all looking over the
shoulder.
Maybe it's not just guilty.
Yep.
This and that. And also for, if we don't want anybody guilty, or it isn't a question. We know that everybody in this thing did it, whatever they did, with the best of intentions.
Right.
That's the sad thing. I told all this morning, I don't want people in the staff to divide up and say, well, it's this guy that did it, or this guy that did it, or da 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 da. That isn't it. This my idea was done, it was done. We do the very best we can, and cut our losses,
yeah.
So far. Unless you have other views.
Did he talk to you about this, this big commission thing?
No. I talk about it, and I don't know what to do. I don't think that even though it's moving along, that story and so forth, I don't believe that I should go out on national television line tonight or tomorrow and go out on a Watergate commission and then come on the next day on national television on Vietnam. I don't like the feel of that. I don't think you could get it ready by that time. What I might do would be to get the Vietnam out of the way and then maybe get this bright if you could. I think that gives you time.
The picture of the Congress having an inquiry going on, and the grand jury having an inquiry going on, the judicial branch,
right?
It seems to me gives you a opening thinking about it after Bob.
Step in about it and say, well,
step in and say, there doesn't seem to be anybody except me in a position to resolve this. And I have talked with the Chief Justice of the United States, and I have talked with Senator Irvin and Senator Baker, and after that consultation, I proposed this three-branch board of inquiry.
If you start with the proposition, Irvin and Baker, whether you don't come across it right there at the beginning, whether you can't get the three-branch. I'm not sure if you get the three-branch on.
Well, I'm not sure you can get it either.
Let's suppose we couldn't. Then I still think it's a good idea, possibly a good idea. I mean, but we got to have somebody other than me that can broker it. The problem we've got at the present time, you see, is that Paul can, you can, Dean can, mainly because you possibly could, but it's also the fact that we're about to go by now, so you're the only one that could. I might have to do, this is why I know you, I have the same concerns about it, but I might have to do Rogers, to be a broker in the times.
My view is that today, unless you've got something more to say,
I have nothing to add to what they're
If I am asked a question about whether or not the deed would appear before the grand jury, if I'm asked that question, it's how should I handle that? That's where I need the advice. I could, two options. One would be to say that
you're saying that anyone is charged wrong, but charged well, then you say, how about three people have information about what you're doing for the grand jury? What do you do about it? You know, it's easy to get out of it and say, well, that's not a matter of the sound of force at this point. I'll comment upon that when it is.
I'm inclined to think that. I'm inclined to think that today our best position is just to say that this was discussed yesterday.
You just say we've indicated cooperation. That's the form of the request or whatever it is.
This matter must be proceeded. This matter must proceed in order to make the issues matter. I'm not going to get up here. I'm on the podium. I'll go through that.
Right. The other thing you might do is say, you know, a fellow like John D. is in a very tough spot when somebody levels an accusation against him. He's really poorest position to defend himself of anybody in the government.
Right.
You know she got married?
Thank you. No. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Huh?
You take time.
There was always a chance for us.
Oh, boy, thank you very much.
No, it's Manoa. Right. Manoa's the one. You know,
he talked her into it.
No, Manoa's, he says that just celebrated his 19th wedding anniversary, and he says next year he was going to desert Tina and marry Sally, and then she would appoint. That stampeded her, probably.
The looks of that one.
Oh,
who's your husband?
David Buchmann. He is in business here in Washington, so we'll be here all the time.
Great, great.
He's the director for Federal Government Sales for Sharp Electronics.
Great.
Well, he just took over their office. So if we didn't get married before the fourth quarter, we had to wait until afterwards.
That's right. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't know whether it would add anything really from our standpoint to say this, but the point is here that the poor guy is under disability to step out and defend himself because of his position, because he is counsel of the president. And that, you know, in a way, inhibits him from stepping out.
I wonder if it's very difficult for John or Ron to get into
that. Well, but it's in the setting of would he appear before the grand jury?
Why don't we just say, well, that's a matter that this is a matter that is not before us. I should point out that he is counsel for the president. Counsel to the White House. He's the White House counsel. So we said that wasn't counsel. He's the White House counsel. And therefore, his appearance before any group therefore, is a different basis from anybody else, which is basically what I, you know, when I flatly said Dean would not appear, but others would, you know, I did say, of course,
he's on a different basis at the same time.
Same time, Dean.
A man in any position ought to be given a chance to defend himself against groundless charges.
Mr. Dean certainly wants the opportunity to defend himself against these charges. He would welcome the opportunity. And what we have to do is to work out a procedure which would allow him to do so consistent with his unique position, being not just a member of the president's staff, but also a counsel, a lawyer counsel, not a lawyer counsel, but the responsibility of counsel for confidential.
A grand jury is one of those occasions for a man in his situation to defend himself.
Yes, the grand jury. Well, naturally, a call. Look, we're not going to refuse for anybody to call for a grand jury for the door. John,
I can't imagine coming. So.
No, he was called. He was called, and he will be cooperative, consistent with his responsibilities as counsel. How do you say that?
You better check that with Dean. I know he's got certain misgivings. Gibbons on this.
Did this morning?
Yeah.
Well, they don't say that.
Well, I think you could pose the dilemma without saying flatly what you're going to do.
Yeah, we, but maybe you just don't want to. They're not break into them, John.
You give it to the post.
Then you're gonna break that into questions. I'd stonewall them today. Okay, that's not before us at this time. But let me emphasize, we feel cooperative, as the President has indicated, that we complete cooperation consistent with the responsibilities that everybody has on the separation of powers. Fair enough. And of course, and consistent with Mr. Dean's responsibilities as his other responsibilities as a counsel. See, how about just saying it that way? Or John, you have doubts. See, if Ziegler opens, Ziegler has to answer something.
The only thing that occurred to me as I read this stuff yesterday was that somehow or another, we should be introducing the fact that Dean's going to get a chance to clear his name.
Yeah.
Eventually, there's going to be an opportunity for that in some form, at some time, in some way. But maybe
this is the setting. I don't think this is the day to do it. This is the day to do it.
I think that would be a good way for the decision.
Stay.
How would you approach the matter instead of moving it off on the President's expression?
You can also say that the President is talking to the staff today in the situation. We should say.
There was a meeting here this morning,
right,
involving the Deputy Attorney General, Secretary of the Interior, drivers, on the High Bridge Reservation,
and that we're the matter of the President is the White House is following,
and we are great.
The President at the President's direction. A meeting was held here. The White House is now examining the situation to see what action can be taken to resolve.
And you might be able to hang it on the deplorable.
The shocking assault, or the murderous assault, you want to do that?
Do you really want to?
We're ready to do something. Let it go. Okay, you go ahead.
Hang on to me until we have a plan.
Keep her on this stuff together.
Okay.
Also say that I met with the Japanese.
Yes, sir. The finance
minister. We have Lindsey Boggs at 3:00. That'd be a nice picture for him. That fellow is a real trooper. That's the thing, I'll tell you. John, if he's getting some guy, you didn't think what Ziegler thought was a 4 years.
Right.
But Henry said, don't say anything. They're a terrible question.
Okay, they shouldn't ask you that question.
Henry, they will. What do I say? Well, can't you say nothing? Don't you have any strength? What's the matter with anybody? We survive it. We'll survive with it.
On the FBI, we'll start moving some names to you.
I hope you'll look into that guy.
Yeah, Lee mentioned. I got him. Western sounds good. We're trying to get a resume and some background.
A judge, prosecutor's background, Mr. Quinn, might be a hell of a good thing. I decided that when we move on it, it must be simultaneous. Gray comes in and says, I'm sorry, we can't get you. He says, I can't confirm my opinion. I don't want to be confirmed in a way in which there's any division. There must be unanimous support for whoever's, and support for and trust in the director of the FBI. As a result of the hearings today, it is obvious that I am not going to get that kind of support in the Senate, even though I believe that I may be confirmed under the circumstances. I respectfully request you withdraw my name. You withdraw his name and send somebody else now. That's a very sound basis. I'm thinking of doing that. I would hope next week, right after June.
What would you think about doing that simultaneous with the appointment of the commissioner? fine man who's been unfortunately splattered by this thing. It's a case study in how bystanders can get splashed with this sort of thing. It's now to a point where he can't.
You think also, John, or at least you thought of some out of the idea that we should get Clint Eastwood too at this point.
How did he do that? Well, I'm going to see him today, and Bob's going to talk to him, and we'll hit him in two directions on this.
And get Clint Eastwood to resign.
Hold on.
No.
Get him out front. Get him out of the office.
Oh, no,
I haven't. We haven't talked about that.
That's Bill Rogers.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We talked this morning about getting him out front.
I'm afraid some gangsters sort of can him right away. Let's see about that. Maybe we can. But what have you got to report? John and I have just started a statement.
Okay, all I have is Dean's report. I did not talk to Mitchell because this may change what we want to do with Mitchell. He had a long conversation again today with Paul O'Brien, who's the guy he's been talking with yesterday, but says O'Brien is very distressed with Mitchell. The more he thinks about it, the more O'Brien comes down, and Mitchell could cut this whole thing off if you would just step forward and cut it off. The fact of the matter is, as far as Ray can determine, that Mitchell did sign off on it. And that's where it is.
Yeah, it's part of the crime.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm sorry. O'Brien, not Craig. As far as O'Brien can determine, Mitchell did sign off on this thing. And Dean believes that to be the case also. Can't Dean doesn't believe in proven that apparently O'Brien can't even put people in that.
That's my
point. And the more O'Brien thinks about it, the more it bothers him with all these things. To see all the people getting whacked around, the easy to get whacked around in order to keep the thing from focusing on John Mitchell. When inevitably it's going to end up doing that anyway, and all these other people are going to be so badly hurt they're not going to be able to get out from under it. And that's one thing. Now, to go back on the Magruder situation, as O'Brien reports of having spent several hours with Magruder yesterday afternoon, O'Brien and Parkinson, Jeff believes, or professes to believe, and O'Brien is inclined to think he really does believe, that the whole Liddy plan, the whole super security operation, the super intelligence operation, was put together by the White House, by Haldeman, Dean, and others. Really, Dean. The Dean cooked the whole thing up, and Haldeman's instructions. The whole idea of the need for a super intelligence operation. Now, there's some semblance of validity to the point that I did talk, not with Dean, but with Mitchell, about the need for intelligence activity. And
so Dean recommended Liddy.
Yeah, but not for intelligence. Dean recommended Liddy as the general.
Yeah, but you see, this is where Magruder might come.
We'll go ahead.
Okay.
That Mitchell bought the idea that was cooked up in the White House for a super intelligence operation, and that this was all set and accomplished back in December of 71, before Liddy was hired by the committee. And then Liddy was hired by the committee to carry it out. And that's why Dean sent Liddy over to the committee. Then there was a hiatus. There were these meetings in Mitchell's office where Liddy unveiled his plan. And the first plan he unveiled, nobody bought. They all laughed at him because it was so bizarre. So he went back to the drawing board and came back with a second plan. And the second plan didn't get bought either. That was in the second meeting. And everything just kind of lingered around that. It was sort of hanging fire. Liddy was pushing to get something done. He wanted to get moving on his plans. And at that point, he went to Colson and said, nobody will approve any of this stuff. We should be getting going on. And Colson then got into the act in pushing to get them, which would jive with the Colson phone call and Magruder saying, right, at least listen to these guys. Then the final step was, all this was rattling around in January, the final step was that Gordon Strachan called Magruder and said, Haldeman told him to get this phone. The president wants it done, and there's to be no more arguing about it. This meaning the intelligence activity, the Liddy program. Magruder told Mitchell Dennis and Sean had ordered him to get it going on all of his orders on the president's orders. And Mitchell signed off on it. I said, okay, they said to do it, go ahead.
This is bugging.
The whole thing, including the bugging.
Sure.
The bugging was implicit in the second plan. He doesn't seem to be sure whether it was implicit or
not. Well,
he doesn't think that particular bug was explicit, but the process of bugging was implicit. And as I didn't realize, nor did he, but it was also in the sandwich one way back the early 20s. That, incidentally, is a potential source of fascinating problems in that it involved Mike Acri, who's now the Customs Commissioner or something, Joe Woods, a few other people.
Nothing happened.
It wasn't done, I'm sorry. But there, at some point, according to Magruder, after this was then signed off and put underway, Mitchell called Liddy into his office and read in the riot act on the poor quality of stuff they were getting. That's basically the scenario, or the summary of what Magruder told the lawyer. Dean's theory is that both Mitchell and Magruder realize that they now have their ass in a swing. They're trying to untangle it, not necessarily working together as yet, at least, but they are. That in the process of that, they're mixing apples and oranges for their own protection, and that they're remembering various things in connection with others.
You don't have a finance minister, do you?
No, sir.
Oh, no, you got a prime minister now. You're moving up. Prime Minister Trudeau wants to call you prior to 2 p.m. when he will announce the decision to postpone any action regarding withdrawal from ICCS for 60 days. All right.
Shall I place the call there?
No, sir.
No, he wants to call you.
Anytime.
Thank you. He says, for example, Magruder doesn't realize how little Dean told Liddy. He thinks that Dean sent Liddy to crank this up, whereas Dean screaming to Liddy was that U.S. General Counsel over there can also take as a side activity the political intelligence question, because we do need some input on demonstrators and stuff like that they're not doing anything about. But he never got into any kind of setting up an elaborate intelligence apparatus. Okay. Dean says that as a matter of fact, contrasting with Magruder's opinion, at the first meeting where a Liddy plan was presented, everybody at the meeting laughed at the plan on the basis that it was so bizarre that it was absurd and it was really funny. The second meeting, Dean came into the meeting late. He was not there during most of the presentation, but when he came in, he could see that they were still on the same kind of a thing. And he says, in effect, I got Mitchell off the hook because I said, I took the initiative in saying, you know, it's an impossible proposal and we can't continue to discuss this in the Attorney General's office and all that. Mitchell agreed. And then that's when Dean came over and told me that he had just had seen this wrap up on it, that they still look at impossible and that we, you know, they shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be involved in it in any way, drop the whole thing. And as Dean said, I saw a problem there, and I thought they had turned it off, and in any event, I wanted to stay 10 miles away from it, and did. He said the problem from then on, starting in somewhere in early January probably, was that Liddy was never really given any guidance after that. Mitchell was in the midst of the IT&T and all that stuff, and didn't focus on it. And Magruder was running around with other things and didn't pay much attention. And Liddy was kind of bouncing around loose there. Well, how do you square that with the allocation of money to Liddy?
Well, that presumably
was the subject of focus by somebody
else
who signed off on that.
Magruder, possibly Mitchell, possibly Stans, certainly. Suppose they could say the allocation of money was just for intelligence operations generally, but not with regard to that's what Magruder said.
Whether there was an occasion for focus, somebody, at some point, someone focused and agreed that there had to be some intelligence and that it would take some money and that they should get.
And against the background of the two plans,
being presented and rejected, the natural question to arise is, well, what are you going to do with the money? You don't have an approved plan.
Yep.
So that doesn't play anything together.
Well, it doesn't hang together, but it could, in the sense that the campaign.
Oh, what he thinks of Mitchell
is.
No, he thinks Mitchell did sign off.
That's the point. But my guess is Mitchell could just say, look, he says he had this and that and the other hand. It's all right, go ahead. But there was no opinion of this, blah, blah, blah.
It seems to be for Deke's opinion that he thinks Mitchell would have a fast way to vote.
So,
now O'Brien says that Magruder's objective or motive at the moment is a meeting with Mitchell and me. And that what he's telling the lawyers may well be a shot across the bow to jar that meeting place. O'Brien doesn't really believe Jim, but he's not sure. O'Brien is shook a little bit himself as he hears all of this. But he does see very definitely and holds also to the theory of mixing of apples and oranges. He's convinced that Jeb is putting together things that don't necessarily fit together in order to come up with a conclusion. And again, he's very disappointed in Mitchell. He feels that Mitchell is the guy that's letting people down. O'Brien made the suggestion that if you wanted to force some of this to a head, one thing you might consider is that O'Brien and Parkinson, who are getting a little shaky now themselves, are retained by the committee. That is, by Frank Bale, who is the chairman of the committee.
This still exists.
They
are involved in the damn thing, right? O'Brien and Parkinson.
Yes.
Well, they were in this all from the beginning.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sure I don't know.
But they're involved in post-discovery, post-June 17th.
Ryan says everything by the committee. He says what you might want to consider as a possibility is to waive our privilege and instruct us to report to the president all of the facts as they are known to us as to what really went on at the committee without the president.
I've been informed. For me to sit down and talk to them and go through
I don't know that he doesn't mean necessarily personally talk to you, but he needs to talk to Dean or whoever you designated and be working on this. Now, other facts. What is at the grand jury today? We don't know how far he's going to go. The danger area for him is on the money, that he was given money. He's reported by O'Brien, who has been talking to his lawyer, Benton, not to be as desperate today as he was yesterday, but to still be on the brink. Or is he shaky? What's made him shaky is that he's seen McCord bouncing out there and probably walking out scot-free.
Scot-free, a hero.
And he doesn't like that. He fears maybe it's my turn. And that he may go...
That's the way I would think all of them feel.
That he may decide to go with as much as is necessary to get himself into that same position, but probably would only go with as much as is necessary. There is the feeling on his part of the desire to get people. There's a feeling of the desire to take care of himself. And that he might be willing to do what he had to do to take care of himself, but he would probably do it on a gradual basis, and he may in fact be doing it right now to grand jury. So, feels in summary that on both Magruder questions, we're not really at the crunch that we were last night. He isn't as concerned as he was when we talked to him last night. We are now going to Silver, the U.S. attorney, is going to Sirica seeking immunity for Liddy so they can be given it. Liddy's lawyer will argue against immunity, but he does not want it. Dean judgment is that he'll probably fail. And Sirica will grant him. Given that Sirica's clear disposition,
then he gets, if he doesn't talk, then he gets protected.
Yeah, but if he gets immunity, his intention as of now is to refuse to talk and to be in contempt. The contempt is civil contempt, and it only runs for the duration of the grand jury, which is the limited duration. And as long as he's in jail anyway, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference.
I would almost bet that's what Liddy will do.
Well, that's what Dean will also do. Dean has asked to O'Brien, Chief Marulis, or whatever his name is, Liddy's lawyer, for Liddy to provide a private statement saying that Dean did nothing in advance on the Watergate, which Liddy knows to be the case. To his knowledge, Dean did nothing about it. And Dean would like to have that statement in his pocket and has asked Liddy's lawyer to ask Liddy for such a statement, which he feels that he would want to give him. It raised the question whether Dean actually had no knowledge of what was going on in the intelligence area between the time of the meetings in Mitchell's office when he said don't do anything and the time of the Watergate discovery. And I put that direct question to Dean and he said absolutely nothing.
The reason I would totally agree with that I would believe Dean there, all I would believe him if he were to say it, would not be lying to us about that. But I would believe him for another reason, that he thought it was a stupid goddamn idea.
It just isn't a scintilla of hint that Dean knew about. Dean was pretty good all through that period of time sharing things, and he was tracking for the number of the sun.
But you know the thing, that the reason I told Bob, and this, incidentally, also covers Colson. I don't know whether, I know that most everybody except Bob, perhaps, thinks Colson is low about. But I was talking to Colson exclusively about, and maybe that was the point, exclusively about issues, you know, how are we going to do this and that and the other thing, and everything mainly how do we get the Labor Day? How do we get this? How do we get the Catholic school?
The Catholic school and maneuver the Berlin's, Colson's fight with the
Berlin's. Right, but what I mean is that's what he's got. But in all those talks, he had plenty of opportunities. He was always saying, hey, we've got to do this thing. But Colson, in that entire period, John, I think he would have said, look, we've got some information, but he never said a word. Haldeman, this whole period, Haldeman, I'm sure, Bob and you, we talked to both of you about the campaign. Never a word. I mean, maybe that all of you knew and didn't tell me, but I can't believe that Colson,
Colson is capable if we knew anything out of that of not telling you what we were at least.
Well, at least nothing of that sort, because as a matter of fact, I didn't even know. I didn't know, frankly, that the Ellsberg thing and so forth, electronically thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were reporting on that. And I guess there you deliberately didn't tell me.
Well, sir, I didn't know. I didn't know what
me
and this crowd were up to until afterward.
Right.
And I told you afterward we stopped it from happening again.
Right.
In that setting. But
that was in the national security.
That was in the national security
thing.
That's right. But the interesting thing about Colson, corroborates what you say, is that when I got a phone call from the Secret Service saying there had been this burglary, the first guy I called was Colson.
Yeah.
Of course. And his response, as I recall it, was one of total surprise, and the rest just it. And he could have said then, oh, those jerks, they should have. About it, or he could have inferred that he knew about it in a way that would have been meaningful to me, but he didn't. He was totally nonplussed, the same as the rest of us.
Well, the thing is, too, that I know that, you know, when they talk about this business of murders, setting a hole in the order, the president had ordered to go forward, and all the people that were surprised was on the 17th of June, this thing, when I was in Florida.
me.
What? Were you there?
No, I was here.
Who was you there?
Called me.
I called
Thomas then.
I called Ziegler.
In this order,
I called Tolson, Alden, and Ziegler.
Sure.
And alerted them to this.
Sure.
And I read the paper and I said, what name? God, is it?
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean is that, I believe in playing politics hard, but I'm also smart. But I can't, but I can't understand this. Off. Richard, whatever, approves of me, signs it off. That's the thing I can't understand there.
Well, Ruger, I can understand doing things. He's not a very bright fellow. I mean, he's bright, but not, doesn't think through to the end. Jesus Christ, Richard knows the consequences of such.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what could have happened very easily there. Mitchell was attorney general. He was using legally, and sometimes legitimately, he was using his very great capacity to wire down and do other kinds of things over there. And you get into a mindset where you get used to that.
Could be.
Could be. And it doesn't, you don't regard it with the same kind of view as most.
Yeah, could be.
Could be. Well, anyway, and Dean says, I did see Liddy probably five or six times during that period of January to June. And it was always on campaign legal matters, you know.
Well, I know Dean was that, but we always said Dean was, remember you tell me, taking all these studies of it,
yep.
The law was the problem.
Yep.
I believe that.
He said at one of those meetings at one time, when, you know, we started, I said to Liddy something about how's it going. He said he started to say, I mean, hell, he's not getting approval on the intelligence operating message. Dean said, you know, Gordon, I mean, Gordon, I told you that's something I know nothing about. I don't want to know anything about it.
Okay.
That was January to June of 72, right? Now, there's another factor. He was following up that point. And he says, a matter of fact, the reason I called Liddy on June 19th, I said, no, wait a minute, you called Liddy on June 19th? The reason I did it is because Clintons told me that Liddy had come to see him on the 18th at Burning Tree. That was the day after the discovery, Sunday the 18th, I guess. And the purpose of that was to tell Clintons he had to get his men out of jail. All that, Clintons said, I'm just a goddamn editor who come talking to me about this stuff. At that time, Liddy told Clintons that Mitchell had ordered. I don't know if that's true. All you know is that Liddy was using that as his means for trying to get to the then the trail.
Well, you know, in a sense, actually, to be telling the truth, Liddy could be too. But Liddy could just assume he had constructive approval. And Mitchell would say, well, I ordered intelligence, but I never approved this goddamn plan. You got to figure the lines of defenses that everybody's going to take here. That's Mitchell's, right? What's all of his line of defense? All of his line of defense, I never. The earlier thing, yes, he did have an operation for release and so forth. What would you say if you said you'd ever do any wiretapping on your ship? Good question on that. Were you aware of any wiretapping?
Yes.
If you would say yes, why'd you do it? So he was ordered on a national security
theory. We had a serious, a very serious national security case.
Yeah. Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mr. Prime Minister. Yes, sir. Take another look. Well, I'm most grateful, and I can say that I just met with just you and I were talking this morning. They're looking for the facts. And while we can't be too sanguine about it, it is of course encouraging that they have come through now on a complete release of all the POWs. All of our forces will be out. And the number of incidents continues to go down. I mean, there's still incidents, but you know what I mean? So it's moving in a direction that is somewhat more positive, although I will be very candid with you. Nobody can be sure. What really counts here is whether the North I think
I should tell you too, the symbolism of your not moving now, I think, is very important. It will not just have a crushing effect. And if you take in a couple of months, the air will be clear, and if it's clear, then you'll say, thank you very much, but we'll have to find some other way to force the agreement. But we understand that, but I think that right now the symbolism of your delay is going to be extremely helpful, and I'm very grateful. Now that would, that's right, we're going to get out and so forth. No, I think that you're doing this as a very statesmanlike thing. I'm most grateful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me say that I know that your interests are the same. I don't know whether during years of this long, difficult war, we've all had different ideas as to how to get it over. But now that we've at least got it tamped down to this point, we can try to play as constructive a role as we can in bringing that money and peace to the area. We should play it. If it won't work, why we won't play it. All right. Here we go. Sure. But speaking another part, I know this is not, as I said, it's not going to be helpful to you politically. On the other hand, looking at Canada and its place in the role of the world, I think it's recognizing the chances of its working. It may not look as good now, but if it does, you can take Canada playing a major role in something like this, that is good for, if I may say so, for Canada to do it, rather than to say, well, we'll check out, set up the sidelines. Well, see, you're in a very important position here. Because you're the only country everybody wants in the deal. Even though other factors would have blown up anyway. Right. So we'll continue, as I told you, in confidence that we'll continue to work with our Chinese, the Russians, the DRD, and the South Vietnamese. We'll play every role we can, and hoping that that may bring something about it. But we will remember your move here. It's very important, and I'm very grateful. Good, good. You can if you like. Unless you think it would be. I'm just to say you're and I'm grateful. That's right. Alright. Okay. Whatever you want, though, you're welcome to say it or not, but I'll hurt her either way. We were saying on that. Oh, let me go back and pick up this business about taps. I've done some checking, and I want you to get a feel for what I would say if this one thing slopped over on you. My view is, I don't know, I don't think Hunt will do that. I don't think he will either, because
I don't think he's going to have to take a fall for
right.
A very heavy burglary if he does.
That's right.
But the line of response would be this, as I see it. Starting back in the days when I was counsel to the president, you were very concerned about national security leaks. And we undertook, at that time, a whole series of steps to try and determine the source of leaks. Some of this involved national security taps, duly and properly authorized and conducted. We had three very serious breaches. And after I left the office of counsel, I continued to follow this.
Yeah.
Your request. We had three very serious breaches. One was the whole Ted Schultz group. One was the Pentagon Papers, and the other was the Pakistan, India. But there were others all through there. And so we had an active and ongoing White House involvement using the resources of the Bureau, the agency, and various departmental security arms with White House supervision. In this particular instance, Hunt became involved because at the time of the Pentagon Papers break, we had dual concerns. We had a concern about the integrity of other documents, and we had concern about the relationship of this particular break to other security leaks that we'd had across the government, RAND and so forth. And so we moved very vigorously on the whole cast of characters in the Pentagon Papers thing. Some of our findings had never come out. It was an effort to relate that incident to the other national security breaches that we had, and also to find out as much as we could about this. We threw a number of people into this that we had at work on other things, among them Hunt, and he in turn, Libby. I didn't know, and this is fact, and I've checked this two or three ways. I didn't know what they were doing about this operation in Los Angeles until after it occurred. And they came to me and told me that it had been done and that it was unsuccessful and that they were intending to make a re-entry to try and secure papers that they were after. I said no and stopped it at that point. Interestingly enough, Colson called me several times and remonstrated with me and tried to persuade me that they should go back in. And I said no, and I hung tough on it.
So Colson and Hunt then were in contact.
Obviously in contact, and I
have to wonder whether Colson and Hunt were in contact later.
Well, that's an inference that arises. Now, I have some memos from Colson to me about the Pentagon Papers problem and about things that ought to be done.
Yeah.
That indicate to me that he was programming Hunt at that point in time.
Yeah.
Now, what he did later, I don't know.
You know, I never had the slightest information from Colson later in the phone reception. Why do
you remember the DM business?
Yeah.
And,
said, let's get the facts there.
Right. And so Colson and I both were involved in finding this fellow, Kenny, the CIA, and getting his story out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's when Hunt first came in the picture, because he was a go-between us and Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when
I heard about that.
Brought him forward.
I heard about that.
Then we kept Hunt on to do various things.
You know, as far as the whole thing, I think it was not Colson, but you that I was talking.
That's correct. That's correct. And I had no occasion to tell you anything about Colson's involvement.
So that's my point.
Young and Crowe operated that whole operation from the beginning, as a matter of fact, with the other leaks, the Pat Schultz leaks and so on. And they carried on through. And Crowe, very frank in saying, I authorized this operation in Los Angeles. No two ways about it. He says, if I'm asked, he says, that's what I'll say, and I'll resign and leave the Department of Transportation and get out of town. He said, I thought at the time we were doing the right thing,
should
and so on and so forth. I don't think he'll have to. I don't think Hunt will spring, but if he did, I would put the national security tent over this whole operation.
I sure would.
And say, look, there are a lot of things that went on in the national interest there that involved taps, they involved entry, they involved interrogation, they involved a lot of things. And I don't propose to open that up to scrutiny.
Okay,
just hard line that.
I think that's what you have to do there, but I wanted to get that one out. Okay, go ahead.
Right now, on the commission idea, being on that being proposed last night, since I still think, he says he still thinks it's possible, as a good possible approach. He's been trying to pick it apart from the board this morning. More up there. He says the approach, as he sees it, is that the president says, here's what's been charged about the White House and about the committee to reelect the president. He puts it all in perspective in terms of political, this kind of stuff goes on. This is all bad.
Without him,
but we are now at a point where fact and fiction are becoming badly confused. We're involved in an intense political situation where the press, the Senate committee now, and others are prejudging this case. Fulger and Weicker and others who are...
Yes, and various people, defendants that are guilty, known to be guilty, are making charges.
Right.
Which should, of course, be...
The FBI is being falsely charged with the inadequate activity in the pussy. So the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney's Office are being Now, no man is above the law. That is a basic principle we must operate on. But under these circumstances, there's no possibility of a fair hearing, and every man is entitled to the protection of the law. And the public is entitled to the facts in this matter. But the people who are in charge and are involved are entitled to fair treatment. People who are involved or who have been accused of being involved. So, I'm creating a super panel, which will have the cooperation of all investigative agencies. All the people who have been charged in this matter have volunteered to submit their facts to this panel.
Be questioned by them.
And be questioned by them. They've agreed to waive their right to trial by jury. And the panel is empowered to act to remove anybody that it sees fit from federal employment, to level fines, and to impose criminal sanctions. The defendants in the Watergate trial, the men have already been, can also submit any information that they want. Anyone who does not submit to the proceedings of this committee under these conditions will be faced with the fact that all information developed by the committee from all other sources will be turned over to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution. There will be no judgment until all the facts are received by the commission. And then the commission will make public all of its findings and the reasons for all actions taken. They will proceed in secret. Their decision will be final and not subject to appeal. People appearing before them will voluntarily submit to that.
What do you have to deal? How is that done legally?
I don't know. That sounds like a little bit simpler than that. That's been what I originally thought he had in mind. He says,
the President has power to set up such a thing. That's what he said. I know that's the main point. I think there's some spending due process.
But it isn't that guy. It's the fellow who doesn't submit. Who in effect is being denied due process.
Because you're right.
The information on him will be turned over to the criminal.
He's sort of condemned by negative inference.
We're all condemned by negative inference right now. I appreciate that, but that's
not condemned by the court.
It's a little different. Wow, that isn't a sidebar on this thing. No. He deals with, there are a lot of advantages on this. Two major internal ones. It would take the panel a long time to get set up, get its processes worked out, get its hearings done, make its findings. And it would probably be past the 74 elections, which would be desirable. Secondly, that the President maintains the ultimate stroke on it because he always has the option on January 19th for pardoning anybody who needs a pardon. So the potential ultimate penalty on anybody that would get hit in this process could be about 2 years. His view would be to put, so you need to get someone on the panel who knows politics. I said, what do you do about Irvin? What do you call Irvin down? You tell him the plan. You explain why you're doing it. Justice is not being carried out now. There's finger pointing, a lot of problems. And you ask him to hold this hearing in advance for the panel. The only other idea he comes up with is he said one thing you might want to consider is if
President Colin Mitchell can throw one on one phone. The President now has all the facts on this that are known to us. But I don't know the facts on Mitchell. He said, I think that Mitchell would not pull any punches with the President. And the President, since that would be the way to find out what Mitchell's true perception of what did to his family was. That's probably all.
Minutes.
in the entire process, the All-American boy who was doing his, who was just doing his thing
as president, yeah, as attorney general, I made this letter.
And he can do it.
So,
and look at the alternative that he now sees. It's either that or he goes to jail. Perjury.
How do you prove it?
That's the other thing. I mean, with other witnesses, not through his own mouth.
Then what other witnesses?
I say, I don't know how they can prove perjury. But he has to be afraid they can, because he knows what's the sin. He knows he did perjury. If you know that you're guilty, you have to be pretty concerned about someone's ability to prove.
That's right.
And Lydia McCord and Sloan. That little thing of McCord's letter about Sloan has to worry.
Because it's about Sloan.
Oh, I said that.
So I was thinking about Mark.
It's just in the line.
Yep.
And it's more likely because Barker worked for him.
I see.
Barker said he couldn't remember who he delivered the tax reports to. I don't know whether you ever talked to Mitchell about this, but the one thing about Mitchell that really worries me is that his wife is going to get out someday and say something. Or that she's around with the kids again, apparently. Or called or somebody. Or that Urban will
like
her. She's just saying what's going on there. What is doing? The other thing that can happen is that either the grand jury or the committee will subpoena her.
Yeah.
She doesn't know.
Well,
I'm not so sure.
You think Mitchell could have told
her either that or she listens on the phone? We know she listens on the phone.
She can put two and two together and she can go in on the jury hearsay and just say,
well,
I
don't
know what they were doing.
She hates
and doesn't fight against the group, against her husband.
But she can go in.
She wouldn't want to. She could testify against everybody else, including you.
She hates findings with a purple passion.
Yeah.
Well, see, he took her husband's job over.
Sure.
She's actually going to have.
It's her husband that wanted to leave.
But you can't persuade her of that.
I see.
Is he bad mouths him on one side and the other? You can't see it. So,
really, that's part of it. Really come down to it. A woman is more responsible than anything else for the problem than John did. Without her, John wouldn't have tended the store all that. I agree.
Well, she's a wild card in this whole thing.
Yep.
And I think when you talk to her about that, I can't talk to her.
I
think he stonewalls me. But I think it's worth talking to him. If he really is going to try and tough this through,
he's got to put her away,
and then she's going to be put away. And that's a terrible thing. I think if he were faced with that reality, he would.
What is Mitchell's option? You mean to say, let's see what he could do. Does Mitchell come in and say, my memory was faulty, I lied?
No, he can't say that. He says
that I may have given it without intending to. I may have been responsible for this, and I regret it very much, but I did not intend, I did not realize what they were up to. We were talking about apples and oranges. That's what I think he would say. Would you agree?
I think that they authorized apples and they bought oranges. So.
Mitchell, you see, is never going to go in and make perjury. I mean, they can talk about identity and all the rest, but he's never going to do that.
They won't give him any anyways. He's as high up as they can get. He's the big enchilada. And he's the one the magazine zeroed in on.
They did.
What brown?
But he did.
Not just the hope that they maybe had a big fish on them. And then Richard Hanks and
John. We're good to
see you. Maybe a good or
yeah. Well, I'm going to come down and find a little dog. I'd like to talk to him.
Papa Gooder said he'd be happy to have Dean sit in.
building in the
right business tree. So you can sit down and have it out and put it in. Know what you have in mind, though.
I don't think so. I think that'd be good.
Superior's got to know, but I just don't. And my own feeling is, Bob, the reason I raised the question, the group is what stroke you've got from the group. I guess we've got that.
I think the stroke Bob has with him is that in the confrontation to say, Jeff, you know, that just plain isn't so. And to stare him down on some of this stuff. And it's a golden opportunity to do that. And I think you only have this one opportunity to do it. And
of course,
he told me it isn't so before. That's all the better. But in his present frame of mind, I'm sure he's rationalizing himself into a tale that hangs together. But if he knows that you're going to righteously and indignantly deny it,
say that he's trying to lie to save his own skin.
It'll bend it. Well, then I can make the personal point you in the other direction. And Jeff, for God's sake, don't get yourself screwed up by solving one lie with a second. That's right. And if you've got a problem, you ain't going to make it better by making it worse.
Yeah, you'll be a hero for the moment. But then
we're
in minds of...
Well, then you've got Magruder facing all...
Let me tell you something.
Choices.
Let me tell you something. There's always, even if the environment and good causes are destroyed. Chambers is a case in point. Chambers told the truth when he was an informant. Obviously, it was because he was informed against KISS that made it worse for him, but it didn't make a difference. He was an informant, and he constantly said, informant, you know, so he's informed. And KISS was destroyed because he lied and he perjured. Chambers was destroyed and wasn't far. But Chambers knew he was going to be destroyed. Now, they've got to know, and they've got to know that this whole business of a car going down this road and so forth. All right. I don't know what the price of course.
The car's a strange bird.
He's trying to get out. I've never met him. Ever meet him?
No. But he's
told me about it.
Let's do another one. No. So he persuaded the Buddha that his present approach is A, not true. I think he can probably persuade him that. And B, not desirable to faith. So he then said in despair, okay, what do I do? There's McCord out here accusing me. McCord has flatly accused me of perjury. He's flatly accused Dean of complicity. Dean is going to go. Magruder knows as a fact that Dean wasn't involved, so he knows Dean is clean. He knows when Dean goes down, Dean can testify as an honest man.
But is Dean going to finger Magruder?
No, sir.
There's the other point.
Dean will not finger Magruder, but Dean can't either. Likewise, he can't defend him too well.
Right.
Dean won't be germane to Magruder, but Magruder then says, okay, Dean goes down to the grand jury and clears himself. There's no evidence against him except McCord's statement, which won't hold up, and it isn't true.
Right.
Now, I go down to the grand jury, because obviously they're going to call me back.
Right.
And I go defend myself against McCord's statement, which I know is true. Now, I've got a little tougher problem than he has. And you're saying to me, don't make up a new lie to cover up the old lie. What would you recommend that I do to you? Stay with the old line and hope I come out or clean myself up and go to jail.
What do you buy or what?
What would you buy? I'd advise him to go down and clean it up.
And say I lied.
Say I lied. I would advise him to seek immunity and do it.
If he
can get immunity. Absolutely.
And then what would he say?
Say, I thought I was helping. It's obvious that there's no profit in this route. I did it on my own motor. Nobody asked me to do it. I just did it because I thought it was the best thing to do from everybody's standpoint. I was wrong to do it. It's basically true.
Okay.
And Magruder's viewpoint, that being ruined that way, which isn't really being ruined, is infinitely preferable to going to jail. Going to jail for Jeff will be very, very, very difficult.
Well, it is.
Well, for Lizzie, that's
person.
Well, he's a very unusual person.
Yeah.
Now, the question is whether a U.S. attorney would have granted him under the circumstances.
Well, he would if he thought he was going to get that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
The interesting thing is, would be to watch Mitchell's face. At the time, I recommend to Magruder that he go down and ask for immunity and confess.
This commission. Except on that, it seems to me, is to sell Bill Rogers on the idea. It was a good idea.
But the other one, personally, it's a lot better Bill Rogers to see whether he comes out with a good idea.
Well, I'd say first we've got to be convinced it's a good idea.
The person satisfied it is a good idea.
Well,
get Bill Rogers.
You see,
they make it good.
Yeah. The problem that we've got here is got a matter of everybody, of course, this is their problem.
You're saying Bill would publicly be the father of this?
Bill would be the father of this. He'd go to Herman and say, I'm terribly concerned about
the
whole
broker.
Business.
He came to the president and said, this is what you must do.
He'd go to Warren.
He'd go to Herman and say, I see this impasse developing between the grand jury and
Congress. Why don't I have the judge sit on the
commission? I don't think he would. He's already smart.
I'd
raise that. But why not ask him?
Sure,
that's fine. Either that or go to Berger or go to somebody in the judicial branch and have him designate two senior judges from around the country who are retired trial judge types and just designate them at random. It takes it out of your hands to represent the judiciary. And not have Warren.
Warren is so old.
He scares me to death.
Then you have to ask me.
The Warren, the speaker and the majority leader.
No, they've already done that to Congress.
They've already done that. I think you're off the hook.
You can invite Urban and Baker.
You invite Urban and Baker, and if they decline, then that's the whole story of the Congress.
Then just have the two senior judges.
The two senior judges and the...
Why not just have a panel of senior judges?
Rather than try to get, you talk about the former attorney general and so forth.
You got Grant Ziegler,
one of the three brown senior judges.
You see, ask the Chief Justice if he would designate a panel of three senior judges. Clark
is the chairman.
Clark is the chairman,
yeah.
Clark is a Democrat, the former attorney general.
And then a
panel of three, I think, would make a lot of sense. Now they have to have a staff, how do they finance them?
The Justice Department. Clark's in touch with lawyers all over. He's got an office over here in the Taylor Building.
They can hire whatever out there on the council.
What that does is to attempt to one-up Urban and the grand jury with yet a third investigatory group. It seems to me that if it's just senior judges, you miss the genius of the thing. And it's got to be executive, legislative, and judicial.
I'm speaking for Mark.
You'd ask her.
Why executive? Executive is what's on top.
Well, executive in the sense that you have citizen members, you know. The public is represented. This government, the whole question of integrity.
I think so. If you could get Congress, you get just judges. I think the panel of judges isn't all that bad either. Rather than expanding into 11 panel of three judges.
I don't think it sells though. That's the trouble. I mean, then you're all you look like you're doing is dragging a red herring across the trail.
You have to have some kind of rational.
Well,
Bill has some ideas on it too. Maybe you
that it has a reason for being, it has a reason for preempting. What about making Clark chairman as a former both executive and legislative and judicial type? And then have two senior judges plus Irvin and Baker.
That's the thing.
Well, anyway, that's not a problem. We're not talking about this. I think in principle, though, getting a line around this whole subject is terribly important at this point, rather than just bleeding up every day around every time. So, and sending John Dean to the grand jury,
I understand that. My point is, John, I don't think we can get it. People say you've got to get it out tonight, for example. It isn't going to be done tonight or tomorrow. We can't get it done that
fast. I don't think you want to anyway. I think you want to end the war with a free school crisis first and then do this.
Well, we should do it Friday.
Yeah. Friday's the time to do it.
I think you've got to get going today. Yeah. All right. Who talks to should John Ehrlichman and you talk to Bill Rogers, or is that a waste of time?
As of now, John should not, because Bill is very concerned about not talking to people about
it. I already have, and I think I try. Fine, all right. You get John.
You get
Bill to come over and say you want to talk to him first and I want to talk to him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if you, so he comes over to see me. The second point is that call Mitchell. Maybe you better make these calls now so I don't know what the hell my schedule is.
I'm going to be seeing climbing stuff. Other subjects.
All right. As long as you can hear Mitchell, what do we want to find these?
You want me to approach this thought with him in a hypothetical way?
Feige's judgment is pretty damn.
All right.
The only thing I would say on Feige's at the moment is I do think that Feige's just got to take up the labor and order on this.
Right.
This
Whitener right away. Again, he's out again today.
Does Whitener have much to do with Greg?
Yes,
he's coming with Greg. Might come from Greg in a month.
Whitener has very much to do with Greg. Whitener is Greg's sponsor.
Yeah.
Whitener has convinced the White House to go to his son Greg. Whitener has issued a very vicious statement about it, that this doesn't reach to the president, but it sure gets to those sons of bitches around him. And I think he almost uses the word sons of bitches. It's as close to it as he can get. Whitener says, like, there's terrible people around him, evil men.
Maybe you try to buy Colson.
That's what Dean thinks. Whitener's talking about Colson.
Yeah, I think he was.
Do you think Gray would be talking to Mike? John,
does Gray have a problem with Colson?
I don't think he would. John, you'd have no problem calling Pat Gray and asking him about why he was up to his work with Mike.
Do you mind?
Not at all. I think he should. I mean, we've got to look with Canada's Jack Winter. If there is anybody the president wants to know,
why the hell is he telling newspapers instead of telling somebody else?
And ask him as the director of the FBI to ask Whitener what it is that he feels that he, as the director of the FBI, is going to get all the information he can now. If there's anybody in the president wants the information, I want to put it, let's try to get the Whitener through Gray. I'd like to try that very soon, like on the phone. You go try it out on Whitener. What time are you going to see Pine Beach?
I don't know. They were setting up when I came.
All right, you're going to set up a meeting. But you're going to be calling right now. That's your plan. Okay, yeah. First, okay. All right. You know, John, let me add, I go by one other thing here that I was pointing out that you must be that information so far. First, you've got to change Greg and all that. Mind these. I think you got to ride with that a while. I don't think this kid is going to get around like that. He was going to go anyway at a certain time, so he can go. Beyond that, I think you have to then cut it off in the past some place here. Let me put it this way, and in respect to what just taking on with goddamn White House staff on just going to be firing. There's some place where you've got to start on.
Well, once you establish that you were following after it, if they were smart, they'd start naming everybody just so you'd have to kick your water and spend time.
What I'm getting at here, and maybe that isn't a way to do it, I don't know, is to insulate you, number one, from these people, to make you appear to be ahead of the power curve on it, and also to have some symbolic act of absolution after the thing is over by being able to take the guy back on and say, all right, we go through the whole thing, they fired the worst they had, they didn't make the case, I'm taking this guy back and reinstating him with full status. So that was the reason that I can see the practical problem of keeping things going, but you've got an awful lot of guys around here who aren't
touching. Oh, we're all going.
You know, government's going. That is the problem. The problem is not the fact that you can't run the shop. We can run the shop as well. You might. On the other hand, but if you say, like, let you distress yourself, let you talk about it,
because
Holloman is a will to make you look at these charges. You say, Holloman, I don't need to leave the best. Goodbye,
Dan. Where are you up from here? So you would say, any chance if you're coming down? That's okay. You can't do it today.
first thing in the morning. Tonight?
You get your other phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, see me and also the other phone. Good. We can get back out a couple of months again.
You mean that commission thing?
Yeah. What's your feeling on that?
Thank you.
present site up for a few minutes at 3, be there over 3:15. I think I was able to, yeah, and then just stop by my office on the way. I think your record ought to be meeting with the president. Okay? So, Gray's gonna do this. He's gonna check with Weicker, and then I left it with him that he would either report through me if it were appropriate, or if not, to you direct. So that, one way or the other. He's going to call Weicker. He's going to see Weicker. See him, you know. Boy, I thought I'd get it. That's good. Yeah. Today, Weicker, I don't know what Weicker is, but the most of the sentence here, so that's what I'm probably in some joke. Okay. What the hell makes Weicker kick? Nobody's been able to figure that out. He sure must be mad at one of us. I don't know who or why. I don't know any specifics
of that student he has been here
at all. I've heard him. He's just establishing his independence at this point against the upcoming committee here. That is why he's got a microphone too, which is why he couldn't come down later. He said it was a microphone. I could say microphone, this is my other phone. What do you mean? No, sir. I'd say the most important thing is to keep the momentum of the presence in prayer.
I know. I just meant, though, I'm just thinking of having a long seance with Mitchell tomorrow is going to be very difficult. Well, at least let's not have me spending my minute Thursday now. Keep one day open. It takes a little preparation. Although I can do it reasonably well.
Is there anybody working on that?
Boy, I'm not going to reason, but
you're going to just go
absolutely.
Do you want me to do anything about some of these substantive points and putting anything down for you? Well, the things we discussed earlier, either that or on the veto or the wage and price thing.
Well, the wage and price thing, I have told, I mentioned just as well, I guess, that I told the people to get me to Schultz. I'd like to frighten the shots that we put early on for Friday. He wants to talk about trade.
I heard
all the rest.
Yeah.
That'll be Friday. We have plenty of time for it. The other thing is, though, that I need a paragraph. If you could get George what I can say, get that for me. Now, in addition to that, as I said, the statement must be the formal statement that we issue the temperance and the speech, but I want to cover your ad lib paragraph. Right, of course, you have very well memorized that. That's what I'm going to do. As far as the budget thing, John, I'm not going to get into chapter. 6 or 7% more for Bellinger, 15% more for Ford, 20% more for this. I mean, I just think I have to handle it a different way. I mean, I want to find public service straight out and push their house and support what we're trying to do and what we've done. Of course, it's going to cost a little bit of tax and so forth. That's the most important. I was simply indicating, I was trying to indicate that of course, I feel like
with me, the way I work, I've heard this today, and I've done it. And tomorrow I'm free for a couple of days.
It takes you to get particularly the speech that you're not going to read. It takes a great deal of concentration. You've got to build up to it. selfish. Really, I feel about the work as well. So I'll just do it 24 hours if necessary. There's a lot of questions. I'm going to cross one way or another.
Dr. Roger Martin,
Sunday.
How is it?
Still fine.
Good friend of mine.
He goes in every morning for treatment, and then he has the rest of the day free.
Anybody else that you can think of? All of his friends. Roger is going to be good.
Any findings? That's
just the findings. Is that way?
It was Saturday, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
And I did claim
himself.
Awesome.
Yeah, should I? Or should John hit it?
John, you do it. That's what Mitchell was asking.
Mitchell's very distressed that Klein isn't stepping up to his job as the contact of the committee and getting Baker programmed and all that. A, and B, that he isn't getting, he's been turned off by the grand jury. He is not getting any information from Silver on what's being said at the grand jury. And Mitchell finds that absolutely incomprehensible and says it's Klein's responsibility.
But I think that, you know, he's supposed to be standing.
Plus, fighting here,
John, put it on the basis that you're not asking. So it doesn't look like the White House is asking, but that John Mitchell says you've got to have this information. This man truly know what you want. Put it right on that basis now, so that everybody you know tends to say the White House raised all about this event. You're not raising it all. But he should have been on the basis. Where are you going to see if they were here? Session with him about how much you want to tell him about everything.
I
think you flatly got to say it, but I think you flatly got to say it. You think, let me tell you, Dean was not involved, had no prior knowledge. Holloman had no prior knowledge. You, Ehrlichman, had none. And Colson had none. Now, unless, and they're all totally different than the president. If you've got any information contrary, you want to know it. But you've got to know it. But you've got to say, too, a very serious question here being raised about Mitchell. Right? That lets it go up here. You see, Magruder is playing. See, the game is interesting here. McCord is throwing off on Magruder, Dean. Why did he pick Dean? Except that Dean was in the news, I guess. All right. Now, what is Magruder doing? Magruder is shocking to me. His playing off against the one area he just wouldn't think he would play off against Holman.
Yeah.
Because they can talk about it. It isn't Strong. Nobody gives a shit about Strong.
Yeah, they care a hell of a lot about Holman.
Yeah, they keep moving. And Magruder. Yeah. Magruder was made by Holman.
Yeah.
He knows, and also he knows it's not true.
Yeah, well, I
can't figure it out.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if a court had been led by committee counsel. See, all the stuff about
Dash,
all this stuff about Dean comes in the LA Times story.
Yeah.
It doesn't come in the court letter.
Yeah.
And Dean is the logical target of the committee.
How do you analyze Magruder tossing it off to you rather than to Mitchell? I mean, that surprised you.
Well, he gets Mitchell too. I think he's just trying to wrap these because he wants to get you in. I think my view is that what Magruder was doing here was firing a threat rather than an intent to say it. I don't think he intends to use that so much as he intended. He's trying to get people shook up.
He isn't asking to see me. Is he?
Oh, no. He's trying to get the line around you for his own protection. People are jealous. In other words, if all Magruder is going to do is take the dive himself, then we aren't going to care about it. If he makes us worry that he's going to get
John,
people and you and me.
Do you think anyway, that Magruder can stick to the story?
No, yes, because he's a genius.
Stick to the story.
He's a genius witness. I think, as I'm told, if he is really as good as he is, as they say he is, as a witness, it's possible he could get away with it.
It's our decision.
But it's his word against the court.
And he's flowing with the stream, you see. He's saying the things they want him to say.
No. I don't mean that he says it.
It's fixed the story. I see. I meant the story he's laying on here.
No, this story. They take that in a minute.
I tell you, I'm to the point now where I don't think this thing's going to hold together. And my hunch is that anybody who tries to stick with a story that is not susceptible to corroboration is going to be in serious difficulty.
So, what do you do?
Well, that's why I said I thought he ought to move to an immune confession of perjury if he can do it. There's too many cross currents in this thing now.
Yeah. This is my view that's sort of the view I have come to get on. I'm sure to check it out. The Magruder's got to say that, but then what the hell's in it for him?
Immunity.
Well, if he gets immunity,
yeah.
That good God can't the U.S. not enough influence? Who grants the immunity?
The judge in Sirica grants immunity in a grand jury proceeding. Irving grants it in a congressional.
Attorney General granted congressional.
No, but what he does there is informally work out with the Congress the pendency of various department action.
I see.
Occasionally, we have future business.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Yes, sir.
That's the help. Well, John, I have no second thoughts about the fact though, that we had to take on this thing on the behalf of the investigation. So we had to take on this whole issue of budget. We didn't know we had to do that. Or we had to ask as well. And also, we had to do it because it was right.
You got credit around the country for it being right. It's very interesting.
We've got more on our bench of this speech.
It's really seeping through, as near as I can tell.
Anyway, we're going to fight that battle.
Yeah.
We're going to fight the bureaucrats.
One thing to look out for here is the Congress rather facilely saying, oh yeah, we agree that we shouldn't spend more than a certain number of dollars.
The priorities.
Yeah, but we'll just arrange the priorities within that. Because they don't have any machinery for arranging the priorities within them. And until they...
Their priority basically is to cut defense. And I'm going to have to get that.
That's right. That's right.
I get that right in the bus, right in the bus.
But you see, if you box them in to a spending ceiling, which they agree to now, and then you say, defense is not available, then you've left them with a whole basket full of unpalatable choices.
Just to leave on.
Yeah. And they'll growl and snarl and bitch and so forth. So it isn't going to come easy.
But it's worth doing it, sure.
Yes.
That it is. Over here for you. What you do at this point, you've got dual form. He's farm me as soon as you get something on Gray. You farm me as soon as you've got something on Kleinke's hearing. I'd have a real woodshed with him. In case that eventually was just going to this point, you know, and he'll jump up and down, John, what the hell. I'm always kind of. Just say, no, let's level. I'm on a level with you. This is we've got a bad rap here, and we're not going to allow it. Now, the real problem is, what about this? What do you do about it? We're going to get out of it. God damn well, Mitchell is right. Of course we are. No, can't the Attorney General call any silver, or is that too dangerous?
Well, he doesn't have to do that. Henry Peterson follows that thing on a daily basis.
And Henry Peterson.
Henry can let Dick know, and that's all we're doing.
All right, you just tell Dick. See, the problem is there is that Dick didn't have to. He said that he furnished the grand jury to the White House at their request.
So it's a tender point, I think, what he has to do.
No, you could say this. What does he need? No, that's weird. But our interest here, you could
70s or whatever.
My house is going to
that's right.
We'll move on.
That's right.
And the president wants to know that he, that's what he's, that's the purpose. We're not interested in protecting anybody. We want to know what the hell they're saying.
That's the only basis on which to
approach that today.
Yeah.
And we need it every day so that we can move one step ahead here. I mean, honestly, we want to move. We're not going to wait till a grand jury that drags him up there.
Okay. I'll let you know as soon as that's done.
I wonder if we aren't if you're in a position to government bodies and so forth. We can all be done with the joint.
Costa Rica.
Or what do
you mean? That's in effect what you would do if you send everybody down to grand jury. I think the judge does not have...
You don't think sending him to the grand jury is a viable option? This idea doesn't do it. I mean, I'm just thinking, I know cutting up these commissions are so difficult, so probably still see what by themselves.
Well, think about these terms. If you came out Friday and said, okay, I want to get this thing cleared up, and so I'm going to send every man jack of this White House staff down to their grand jury.
Then they
will
sure.
Anybody that knows anything about it, directly. And I'm calling on the judge. I've talked to the judge. He's assured me that it will be done very expeditiously. And
what I was thinking to see is an alternative. The judge is not come out as a white man here. The judge is. Incidentally, we can say, in a sense, that the judge has been years long, we can say 55 years for somebody that has had no weapon, no farmer offense, and so forth and so on. Ridiculous. But the reason the judge is doing this much deeper is because he thinks there's a cover.
Sure.
I'm quite sure. I don't think we can hold that against the judge. I mean, I do in a way, but you know.
He's a proprietor of a courtroom and he trusts it that it right. Conducted a travesty.
Now, that's why it is. Why don't I, there's another one we go through, and I just probably rather than try to set up another procedure, call the judge in and say, Judge, you carry out this investigation. I'm sending them all down here and you can question them. I want everybody here. I want you to get a thought of this. I have to go back. That's another way to do it.
That's okay, as long as you then get out front.
No,
to the country.
No,
I've now had this conversation with the judge.
Yeah.
The thing that I get.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
The thing I get over and over and over again from just ordinary folks, is why doesn't the president so-and-so
say it? Why did he do something?
Yeah. So symbolically, you've got to do something.
Right. Do something so that I'm out in front.
That's it.
They don't think the president's involved, but they don't think he's doing anything to clean it up.
That's it.
No matter how often we say we will cooperate,
that's
as
right.
Your body is doing, the FBI, I don't believe that at all.
It's not getting through. Ziegler is not sufficiently credible on this, in a sense, because...
Well, what about the judges? Let's look at it that way, rather than...
Well, then what you've done is you've said, I'll send John Dean, I'll send Alden, I'll send everybody to the grand jury. No immunity. Just send them down there to testify. Let it all come out.
It's up to him to grant.
It's up to him to grant it where people
really defend. You're not asking for it.
That's right.
No, I mean, I'm not
going to
grant privilege. You say I'm waiving executive privilege.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do.
Now, Olson disagrees with that, but... No, I could say consistent with. I could say executive. I could, when you say executive privilege, you can start with us to be as forthcoming as we can.
Yeah.
All the facts that have to do with any of this thing here. There's no.
I consider
sitting
no
privilege.
Executive privilege.
Yeah. That is no privilege would be claimed unless it is absolutely necessary or something like that. We'll work on something.
Because that would be the follow-up question. The minute that you said that,
we could say on all matters that relate to this particular matter. Yes, that's what I would say. Exactly.
could say this. You could say, I have never had a communication with anybody on my staff about this burglary,
therefore,
or about Segretti.
Prior to Segretti is not in his court,
so that's no problem. Since I had no communication with anybody on the White House staff about this burglary or about the circumstances leading up to the
trial,
there is no occasion for executive privilege in this matter with
regard to this. I want you to get to the bottom. So there will be no executive privilege on that. On other matters,
and that takes you up to the June 17th. What do you do after June 17th?
There will be executive privilege.
You questions like, did you ever discuss with the president, Mr. Hall, the matter of executive clemency for any of these defendants?
Supposed to say no.
For the payment of the money.
Or the
payment of
the
money.
And Hall and then Colson and both said no.
Since you want to waive privilege so that you can say I owe it rather than invoking it.
They can say that. I think we've got to say it because basically we're situation.
Well, folks would be very disturbed by that, and you must have a reason why you will.
Well, why don't we get one? Why don't you get this argument so that I can hear clearly and I will follow. What is it, Bob, and as you call it? Say, don't give anything away if you don't have to. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. You're going to want to.
That's why his thing is don't do any blanket waiver of privilege because you get into points where you may want it.
Well, don't use blanket waiver. Why don't we just say with regard to this, there's no problem.
And then you get a John Dean problem. What about lawyer client privilege?
Lawyer client with me? Or with other members of the staff, other members of the staff. That's a problem. I said that's a matter that has to be decided on the that looks like a
see, while well, your client with other members of the staff only pertains to his role as your lawyer and us our role as your agent.
Well, he can prefer. Well, we can work something. I think we can work something. John, consider for a moment, though, that the play does not go to a I just say the place that this should be. You see, the argument can be made. I know the judge is tough and all that. But the argument can be made. There's an honest judge trying to get at the facts. The argument can also be made that proper criminal charges are involved. The proper place for those to be considered is not in the not in a kangaroo court in this Congress, which drags on and on and on television, but in a before a grand jury. And in the fact that we're on the court, according to the trial, and under these circumstances, the court asks the court, and all everybody,
Irvin's answer to that will be, the president is trying to fight this battle on his battleground. It's obvious he wants his FBI, his Justice Department, his prosecutor,
but not his judge. You see, the one strong point which Rogers had raised, not in this connection with Bob, is the judge is out of this. It's the big white knight now. Okay, he's clean as a house.
Okay,
he's as clean as anybody you can find.
You ask the judge or direct the judge or request the judge. You can't direct the judge. Okay. Request the judge and highly recommend to the judge that he appoint a special prosecutor.
That's right.
The president's justice.
Let me say it. Or the president. The same thing is going to happen before a commission. They'll have a special prosecutor. You'll want to make a name for yourself. Everybody wants to make a name for himself as a prosecutor. It'll drag on and on. The idea that a commission will might go through the 74 elections and so forth. My view is, I don't think about a damn thing. It's going to come out anyway. I think you better cut the losses now. I just feel that you just better get over it. As much and frankly sharper as perhaps just say, all right, judge, let's go.
We'll come out issue here?
Not necessarily.
Because, you know, the Woodard can stay with his own position if he wants to.
Oh, I understand.
We're not telling anybody what to say.
What they're doing. What I meant is, John, if you call the judge in, and say, look, Judge, you're in, I recommend that, or I strongly recommend a special prosecutor if you, don't have confidence in the present prosecutor. But you can take anybody you want. I will serve up our people too.
I think that's something to talk to my niece about. I'll talk to him.
You talk to him, but I think you should talk to Rogers about that.
Special prosecutor, as Rogers points out, is a sign of the Justice Department, which is already on.
But it needs to be sworn. The judge, in other words, the idea that
makes a popular move,
the idea that the president gets the judge says, now you're an honest judge. You're doing your job. What a special prosecutor. We've got nothing to hide here. All right, let's go.
I don't think the judge appoints him. I think the attorney general appoints him.
Well, we can say if you want a special prosecutor, the attorney general will appoint one. My niece is such a good friend, Mr. Rivers, or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll work it out. And he will appoint a special prosecutor if you request it, if you want.
Well, it will be acceptable to you. Give him a veto on it or something so that you get it out of the.
I to think that that one, I feel that kind of a person could be made Spielman. You could do that like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You could. Mm-hmm.
But would you want to go on television tomorrow?
No, but the way I would do the television, I'm not planning to do this before at 9 o'clock on prime countdown. No, I would do this in the newsroom. It'll make it all. In other words, that's enough right there. I can say I've done this. I want this at the bottom of this. And boy, that'll ricochet around for that day. Okay, gentlemen.
All right.
Sure. You got no medals?
Purple,
right? No. Oh, hell. The time of the back of the plane and gave the Purple Heart.
The diabolical question.
Yeah.
Should I tell Henry that we're consulting with Rogers in this area, or should I not?
Not tell him that.
If I don't tell him, Henry will suffer the agonies of the day on
the day. No, yes.
Why you are meeting with Rogers?
No, yeah, just say yes. Better